Evening is taken from Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to the end of the chapter. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Good evening. It's a privilege to be here to consider the word this evening. Just a thanks to all the brethren here that do labor in the congregation. Thanks for Brother Sullivan and his song selections for this lesson. So, this evening I'd just like to consider the Great Commission, the church's marching orders, our marching orders. So much has been written and spoken concerning the content of the commission which was given to the disciples by Jesus. The contents of this commission are listed in the last chapters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Evidently, not too much has been said about what is contained in this charge, for there are still many who need to hear and obey it. Maybe we need to emphasize the duty of God's people a little more as pertains to this work, then more will tell it to those who need to hear it. This commission or charge is properly referred to as great when we compare it to the other commissions. By such a comparison, we can see that these instructions given by Jesus just prior to his journey back to heaven are much greater because of their scope and importance. So there are a couple of examples of commissions or charges throughout the Old Testament. The first example would be Noah. He was given the task of building an ark to the saving of his house from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Much more was included in this charge, such as gathering the living creatures which entered into the ark with Noah. Also, there is indication that some preaching was done in Noah's time from 2 Peter 2 and verse 5, 1 Peter 3, 18 and 20. But when all was said and done, eight souls were saved from a literal form of destruction. Under the Great Commission, baptism is designed to save the inward man from Mark 16 and verse 16, from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. The next example would have been Moses, who was sent to Egypt to lead God's people out of bondage and into the promised land of Canaan from Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10. Though Moses carried out this charge commendably, it pertained only to the literal bondage of a few thousand people which comprised the nation of Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 7. Another example would be Joshua, was then charged by God to complete the mission begun by Moses by leading them into the land of Canaan from Joshua chapter 1 verses 1 through 9. Joshua later reminded Israel that by the help of God, this mission had been accomplished and not one thing pertaining to it had failed. Joshua chapter 21, verses 43 and chapter 14. This knowledge should put an end to all these later day speculations about Israel returning someday to inherit the land of Palestine. And the next example, in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, the great work of rebuilding the temple and the walls of Jerusalem was accomplished. In spite of the magnitude of this undertaking and efforts to hinder it, upon completion, it still only provided a temporary center of activity for a people who were destined to relinquish their right to be God's exclusive people. Isaiah 62, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 15. The prophet Jeremiah also told of God's plan to implement a greater system at some future time, and the apostle Paul verified its fulfillment. Jeremiah 31 and Ephesians. Chapters 1 through 3. So how much more If these previous efforts were limited in their scope and importance, then how much greater is the commission which surpassed them all? When Jesus sent out the 12 and the 70, they were still limited to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 9. Thus, we properly refer to these efforts as a limited commission, but this great commission of which we speak embraces far greater blessings and responsibilities. The consequences for failing to heed its terms are also greater. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, chapter 8, verse 5, 6, chapter 10, verse 29. So the contents. There are things in the Great Commission for both saint and sinner. God's people who are called out of the world have certain duties which pertain to executing this commission. We are to do the going, the teaching, and then are to teach further those who heed the terms of the gospel. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Those who believe the message are to be baptized for the remission of their sins. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 41. These are then added to the Lord's church and immediately begin to share in the opportunity to continue carrying out this commission. Acts 2 and verse 42. Verse 47, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. So, implementing the Great Commission, nowhere do we see the importance of a plan any more than we do in the implementation of the Great Commission. Jesus himself authored this plan, and it is recorded in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, with its several parts. The apostles were to be witnesses of Jesus, one in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. If there were those among the early brethren who could see no plan in this, it certainly did not deter the apostles in their understanding and implementation of the Lord's will. They preached the gospel first in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 1 through chapter 7, then in Judea, Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, then in Samaria, Acts chapter 8, verse 5, and finally to the uttermost part of the earth, Acts chapter 10, 11, 19 through 21. Instead of trying to minimize the importance of this commission and its contents as sectarians have endeavored to do, we should be telling of its greatness, a characteristic also of him who gave it. So considering the church's marching orders, the Great Commission contains the marching orders for the Church of Christ. It is Christ's New Testament in brief, and the letters of the apostles spell out the details. We often use the three accounts of the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, and then Luke chapter 24, verse 46 through 47, to teach people what they need to do to be saved. But the Great Commission was given primarily to teach Christians what they must do. There are five commands to the apostles recorded by Matthew and Mark. They are: 1, preach the gospel; 2, to every nation; 3, to every creature; 4, baptize the believers; and 5, teach the disciples to observe all things commanded by Jesus. These commands spell out the primary duties of the apostles and all those who would follow the apostles. And these are the commands by which we should measure the success or failure of the church. When we see a congregation with 200 members, a nice building, a faithful preacher, and a growing attendance, we generally judge it to be a good church. When we see a church in a community, we feel the town is well served, but such is not necessarily the case. The fear is that too often churches which seem to be good churches are failing woefully when measured by how they are carrying out Christ's marching orders. Preachers, elders, and teachers should be judging their performance strictly by how successful they are in leading the congregation to carry out these commands. A church can seem successful while failing in every one of these five areas. Judge not by the size of the building, or the numbers attending, or the amount of the contribution. Judge not by the reputation of the preacher or of the elders. Judge solely by whether the gospel is being preached to every nation, to every creature, in such a way as to cause believers to be baptized, and by whether those baptized are being taught to observe all things commanded by Jesus. So, the Great Commission. The first point, Christ gave the commission. This is shown by all three writers. It is important and impressive, because he gave it. And these are some of the very last words of Christ on earth. Only Christ has authority in religion, Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." The Father commands us to hear Christ, Matthew 17:5. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Jesus himself claims all authority from Matthew 28:18, but is from John 3:35 as well. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. The apostles teach that Jesus is supreme. Peter, in Acts 2:36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Paul, in Ephesians 1:22-23, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." And we can hear James from James 4:12. "There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another?" And then finally from John in Revelation 20:11-15. "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." Excuse me. "This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Third, the message to be preached is specified. That message is the gospel from Mark 16:15. "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Repentance and remission of sins from Luke 24:46-47. "Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So, this was not doctrines and commandments of men. It was not politics, economics, or entertainment. It was not race relations, slum clearance, or other social gospel fleshly concerns. Fourth, the carrying out of the Great Commission is the mission and reason for the existence of the church. Early Christians took it seriously from Acts 8:4. "Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." And then Colossians 1:23. "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." So we have the money and the personnel to preach the gospel to every nation under heaven in this generation. Fifth, individuals in the church are alike responsible for carrying out the Great Commission. As far as individuals, we can turn to Philip in Acts chapter 8, verse 5 and 26. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. In verse 28, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down to Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. The scattered disciples, Acts 8 and 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Verses 19 through 20. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. So today, all that is called personal work, distributing literature, teaching by word of mouth, correspondence, supporting preachers, etc., is considered carrying out the Great Commission. And as far as the church in Antioch, Acts chapter 13, 1 through 3. Now in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. And then other churches, 2 Corinthians 11 and 8. I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. So other churches were carrying out the Great Commission. So today, support the preaching of the gospel at home, nearby, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Six, salvation through obeying. Repentance. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Belief and baptism. Mark chapter 16 and 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Seven, part of that Great Commission is strengthen the saved. Matthew 28 and 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth, of the age. Amen. This was done in Jerusalem from Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Paul did this. Acts chapter 15, verse 41 and 16 and verse 5. 15 and verse 41 reads, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Acts chapter 16 in verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Paul left Timothy in Ephesus, 1 Timothy 1, verse 3 and 4, and Titus in Crete, Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, to do this. 1 Timothy 1, 3 and 4, as I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. And then Titus chapter 1, verse 5. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. I am with you, is the promise of Jesus, Matthew 28 and 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. This promise is conditioned on our obeying the Great Commission. That promise is sufficient, Romans 8 and 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? It is a sign of disbelief in God to think we cannot go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. We owe it to the world to take the gospel to it. Paul was a debtor, Romans 1 and 14. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Every Christian should feel as Paul expressed himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. And then finally, now is the accepted time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. We then, as workers, together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So, we need to apply these verses to our responsibility to the lost. And we need them to apply them to ourselves if we are lost. So the Lord's invitation stands. If you should require obedience through baptism or prayers and assistance from the church, then would you please come forward as we stand and sing.